Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, hear it, believe it, live it. That's what this broadcast is all about, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, coming to the point that we really believe that he's taken away our sins, that he was raised to life so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life, and then living that out in day-to-day experience, in relationships, in our work situations, wherever we are. That's what this gospel does. It engages us in that process of spiritual transformation through hearing, believing, and living the good news. Well, this month we've been talking about an aspect of the good news called reconciliation, the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us that message of reconciliation. And so if we're going to have relationships one with another that are going to be meaningful, healthy, strong, will endure through thick and thin, then we have to understand what this reconciliation is all about. So we've delivered it, time and time again this month. You've heard it. You've had a chance to work it through, believe it, and then it's time to say, okay, what does that look like in living it out? What does it look like? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 gives us some pictures of what that reconciled life looks like. And it says, I urge you, this is in verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. So a reconciled life, somebody that has received the reconciliation that God has made real through Christ Jesus, through his shed blood on the cross, has a gentleness, has a humility, has a patience about them, is somebody that bears with one another in love. And it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So here's the good news. I've been reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I've received that reconciliation. I'm on the same page with God. I'm no longer at odds with him. There's no dissension between me and God. Now, there never was dissension as far as God was concerned. That resided in me,
yes,
in my heart, in my mind. That's been crushed. That's been pushed aside. Now I'm at peace with God. Oh, the same is true with you. You've been reconciled to God, Bob, and you've been reconciled to God, Richard, and we are on the same page with God. Because we're on the same page with God, now we can be on the same page with one another. There's a unity that vertical relationship with Christ brings about in a horizontal manner, one with another.
Yeah.
So it says keep the unity. It's not like let's go out and become unified. It says keep the unity. We're already one in Christ. So keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, how do we do that? Well, verse 32, I think, gives us an answer. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So the fact that we are one in Christ means that we're going to be very quick to forgive and receive forgiveness one from another. Why? If we want to stay reconciled, if we want to be on the same page one with another, that requires forgiveness. And so how do we live a life worthy of the calling? By forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us.
Reconciliation is a good thing. And friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, talk about that, or if you'd like to pose a new topic, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Calls are already beginning to come in. Still plenty of room for you, though, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Hillsboro, Kansas, and talk with Doug, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, doing fantastic. How about you, my friend?
We're doing great. and we're really excited because we're going to Israel with Basic Gospel.
Oh, man, that is great news. Yeah. I am so glad y'all are going to be on that trip with us. I think it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. We're just going to have more fun. It's going to be so meaningful. Just seeing all those different sites, and especially seeing those through the lens of the new covenant, what we have in Christ Jesus. It'll just make that land come to life and the Bible come to life even more. And Doug, I'm excited for you. I'm excited that we're going to share that trip together.
Yeah, that's really the great part. And we're just so excited that we get to be able to, you know, number one, just, you know, get away and see Israel. But every time we get involved with you guys in any type of event, we've come away with some new friends, and that's always really exciting to make new friends along the way as well.
Well, you can count on that happening, as we will, you know, we're limiting that trip to only 40 people. So we will, you know, really have an opportunity to get to know one another. And, you know, as we're going to share meals together, you know, we'll have a breakfast together every morning. We'll have a dinner together. We, you know, as we go to the various sites, we'll share lunch together. And it's just going to be a powerful connection that's going to be made there. And, man, I'm so happy for you guys.
Yeah, we just can't wait. It's too long to wait 10 more months, but we'll have to do it. We'll have it along the way.
Yeah. Well, it'll be here before we know it, and pretty soon we'll be sending out some materials to help prepare for that trip. I'm sure you've already heard from the Israel Tour Company. Eileen and Evelyn, they're just wonderful. Abraham Hillel, our tour guide, will be with us next week. He's coming to Dallas, and we're going to have him in studio with us one day. So you'll get to hear his passion for Israel, and it'll raise your excitement level even higher, I guarantee you.
Well, great, great. And I just want to also encourage you guys. You guys have been so instrumental in our lives, and just all the things you've taught us, and the things that we've grown in the love and grace of God through the years. And, you know, I want to encourage people to support this ministry, because I know you've been at this for, you know, over 25 years, and we just had so many times when you've, you know, taught us the same consistent message time after time, and we're a little slow at learning sometimes, but the repetition has been great for us in just being able to hear the clear and concise message of the love of God.
Well, now you know why I have to teach it, you know, the same thing time and time again, so it'll get through my thick skull. But we're all on this journey together, and that's, you know, we do need the constant repetition. At our Bible study today at noon, Richard was going over a passage in the book of Philippians chapter 3, and Paul said, it's, you know, it's no bother to repeat this again, to tell you this good news again. And I think we all want to hear it. We need to hear it to get our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And boy, we have so many messages out there in the world. We, you know, probably on a daily basis, we're hit with 5,000 or more different messages, whether it's through TV or internet or billboards or just whatever it is. And a lot of times those messages are confusing. They're mixed messages. They're not messages about Jesus. And so we need the message of Jesus to cut through all of that, to clear our minds, and to encourage us again and again. So, Doug, thank you for those kind words. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Keep spreading the good word.
Well, thank you. We will do that, and we'll look forward to enjoying Israel together. And for any of our listeners who are thinking about going to Israel with us, it's time to register.
Yeah.
Those spots are going to go quickly. Like I said, we only have 40 spots available. We wanted to limit it to that amount, so it would be a single bus that we would have. We could really get to know one another and actually be able to get through the country more efficiently and effectively, have more time at each site. So I encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net/events, mm-hmm. and find out all the information. If you have questions, there's a number on the website that you can call. Evelyn Mason, or Evelyn Wheeler and Eileen Mason are the ladies that are putting together the details. They are over the top good.
They have plenty of experience.
Yes, they many, do many have years. Plenty of experience. They've been doing this for 20 plus years. They know Israel like the back of their hands. They know all the questions and concerns that people have, and they can give you some solid answers as to why Israel is a trip that you need to take.
Yeah.
So come join us. It's February 7th through the 18th next year, 2017. So we have 10 months to go, but those 10 months will come and go in a hurry.
Absolutely.
So come join us in Israel next year, February 7th through the 18th.
Get all the information, and you can register online as well at basicgospel.net. Click the events tab again at basicgospel.net. Right now, open lines for you at 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. Love for you to pose your question or your topic of concern. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to British Columbia and talk to Doreen. Hi, Doreen.
Hi. Yes, it's because I've seen lately that people have been saying that you know, you don't need to repent of your sins anymore. It's all automatically done. You know, so I just I saw this scripture in Romans 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So I looked, it past means that previously transpired, so it means all the sins. When you come to Christ, you're forgiven of all the sins that you've committed. But from then on, evidently, you need to repent towards God. And then in John 3, verse 4, 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, "Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abides in him sins not. But whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, and he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning." And in Luke 1, verse 6, it was talking about the righteous people then, and it says of Elizabeth and Zacharias, "They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of God, blameless." And I know that in Revelation it talks about the ones that get into the kingdom are blameless. And so I just was thinking that, well, you know, this must be true, what God is saying. It was for sins that are past them from now on. But we can't.
Well, Doreen, let me just jump in there. As far as the passage in Romans is concerned, he's talking about the fact that there was that sacrificial system of old, and that sacrificial system of old provided some temporary relief for the people of Israel. So because of that, God could leave those sins unpunished, because he knew there was going to be a once-for-all sacrifice that was going to be made in the future. So that's what Paul was saying. This, he did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, those that were under the old covenant because of the sacrificial system. But now in Christ, those sins have been dealt with once and for all, and Jesus Christ took the punishment for you. So, Doreen, if you sin tomorrow, is there going to be another sacrifice made on behalf of that sin? Is God going to send Jesus to die again in your place to cover that sin or to take away that sin? Well, the answer is no. Jesus died once for all. So when Jesus died, he had all of your sins placed upon himself, and he died in your place for each and every one of them. So, Doreen, all of your sins have been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. So when you sin tomorrow, are you going to ask God to die, to send Jesus to die again in your place?
Well, no, he's given us faith in his blood. That's what it is. It's not as though he has to sacrifice himself again. It's the faith in his blood that's given us the faith to ask him to forgive us of our sins. And
and what he's going to say to that, Doreen, how he's going to answer that is,
if you want to repent, right?
Yeah. Well, Doreen, just hang with me just for a second, okay? So his blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus has shed his blood once and for all. When we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins. It says that we've been forgiven of all of our sins. In 1 John 2:12, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So forgiveness is ours. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if you're in Christ, Doreen, and I'm in Christ, and if anyone is in Christ, this is true of him. That person has redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if you sin tomorrow, that verse applies. In him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you sin a week from today, that verse applies. You have redemption.
Are we not supposed to repent, though?
Well, hang on, Doreen. Let's get one thing settled, and then we can go to the next. So let's get the forgiveness issue settled. The fact that Christ has done it all. I mean, he's not going to die again. He's just not going to die again. He's done that. And God was satisfied with the shed blood of Jesus. So forgiveness is ours. If you're in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. Now, repentance is this process of renewing the mind. It's a changing of the mind. So most of the time when we see the word repentance, it deals with salvation. I'm repenting of my sin of unbelief in Jesus, and I'm coming to faith in Jesus. I'm turning away from unbelief and turning to belief in Jesus Christ. That's what the repentance is. And so that process happens at salvation, at conversion. But my mind doesn't necessarily fall in line with that at all times. So my mind is in this process of being renewed, of being transformed. So it's changing, isn't it? So it's almost like our minds are in a constant state of repentance, of learning that Jesus has done it all and coming to grips with that truth, of learning that I am righteous in Christ, that he has declared me to be righteous in his sight, learning that I'm holy and blameless in his sight. And so now my heart and my mind both can say, thank you. My heart and mind can be aligned one with another as both are now aligned with truth. So what was happening as we grow in grace, as our minds get renewed, they start changing to reflect the truth of the gospel that applies for us, that's our current reality. So my mind starts to realize, hey, I'm a forgiven person. Now I can really praise the Lord for the forgiveness that I have in him. And now I can objectively look at the consequences of that, of my sin toward others, and go and be reconciled to them and extend the love of God to them and receive the love of God back from them and see God's love worked out in our relationships one with another. But that's not going to happen until I know, as we read earlier in the program, that we are to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. So I have to know how God in Christ has forgiven me. My mind has to come to grips with that. My heart is already resting in it. Now my mind has to come to grips with that and be in line with what's true. And then I can really extend forgiveness to others. Well, Doreen, I hope that helps. We sure appreciate your good questions.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to,
there's something that we've got to come to grips with, and that is there is no sin in the future. I cannot sin in the future because I am bound by time. I can only sin at this moment, and it's immediately a past sin. So we can't think of what Jesus did as applying up to some point in time, and then, well, what about later? What Jesus did is eternal. It's outside of time. It's beyond time. What we do is locked in time. And so we've got to stop thinking about future sin. We only have to talk about sin. What did Jesus do with my sin? He took it to the cross. He buried it in the ground, and he left it there. That's why we can say thank you for the forgiveness. That's why we can allow the Spirit to renew our minds, as you were describing. But if there's some idea that there's a future sin that Jesus hasn't covered, all we can do is live in abject fear.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're called to do.
And if there is something that he left unpunished, he could have never declared us to be righteous.
Correct.
But the fact is, he declared us to be righteous. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his work was finished. His blood took away all sin, period, end of story.
Yeah.
And our job is to rest in that.
Yes.
That's what God has called us to do, to rest in that. And from that rest flows this incredible life that Jesus has imparted to us. Mm-hmm. And we get to see it in up close and personal, in attitudes of love and patience and joy and kindness and long suffering and those sort of things. So from that life of rest in the finished work of Jesus flows this incredible life of love in his power.
Yes.
Today.
Great discussion, guys.
Well, let's go to New York and talk with Angela. Hi, Angela.
Pastor, now I heard you saying about forgiveness, and that's okay. I mean, not it's okay. Forgiveness of sin is save. He's the Savior. But this is the way I think. Okay, he's not only the Savior, but in order to become the Lord of my life, the Master, the Owner, I have to everything else to commit into his hands. Not only he's not only my Savior, he's my God, he's my Lord. And that includes everything else. Now, coming to other things, it says in 1 John 9, if I confess, because I may depart, I'm not comfortable, the relationship is not from my part. So I sense that, I've done so, Lord, I confess. You know, then he says, okay, I'll forgive you and I'll clean you from all unrighteousness.
No, that's not what it says.
Okay.
It says he is faithful and just forgive and to mm-hmm. cleanse. So it's not like he's saying, okay, because you've confessed, I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm just going to go ahead and do that and appreciate you bringing them to me. No, he sent Jesus to shed his blood once and for all. And quite frankly, Angela, if you read 1 John verses 8 and 10, I think you will get a better idea of what John means with verse 9. So there were people who did not believe they sinned, who were deceiving themselves, who were making God out to be a liar, whom the truth did not live in. That's the people that he was addressing. They weren't saved people. They were lost people. And to those lost people, John had an answer. If you will agree with God, and that's what confession is, if you will agree with God concerning your sin, I don't know if you will or you won't, but here's what you're going to find out, that God is faithful and just, and here's how he shows his faithfulness and his justice, in that he has forgiven and has cleansed of all unrighteousness.
Yes.
That's the good news of the gospel.
That is the good news. Angela, thanks for calling. Hope you keep listening. Friends, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. All you need to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at the website. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And while you're at it, go to the App Store and download our app. It's a multifaceted opportunity to stay connected with Basic Gospel in the App Store now. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will, too. Bye-bye.